Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the podcast that's not too boring, it's not incredibly interesting, it's just interesting enough. And as you can see, we have a special guest on this week. We've got Chris from 101 Facts. He's back.
It's me. I'm back. I didn't die. I just died inside. That doesn't count.
Oh, no. For those of you who remember and used to watch our old podcast that shall not be named, Chris was a frequent guest on the podcast, and we are happy to have you back, Chris, this podcast.
I'm back. I'm happy to be back. As soon as Robin asked me to fill in for him while he was off gallivanting around Windsor or something, around Cambridgeshire, one of them, I was like, yeah, banging. I was so excited. I could bring up the actual text, but I feel like that would waste time.
Yeah, and it's good to have you back. I mean, it was a little bit different, wasn't it, last time? I guess we were all together, so this is a slightly different scenario. But thank you so much for coming on. And, I mean, Alex, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, this week, Martin, I thought we'd revisit one of Chris's favourite topics, I remember anyway, and it's time travel. I wanted to ask the question, do time travellers walk among us today? Because if time machines have been invented, then it kind of makes sense that we would be visited by time travellers all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, everyone would be flying back.
Why aren't we, or are we, and they just are trying to stay hidden? This is the question of today. But before we get into that, we're going to be talking about some things that we've learned this week and talking about some of our favorite comments of the week. And this week it will be Martin v Chris in our head-to-head quiz.
Hosted by me. Ready to win.
No, seriously, Chris, this season I have been failing badly in the quiz. I'm adrift is an understatement. I'm falling behind. Exciting. Really am. Well, this week I've learned a little bit about the game Hangman. Do you know Hangman?
Scrabble.
Not Scrabble, Hangman. Hangman. Similar. Both word letter games. Yeah. So Hangman, I imagine there's other names for it in different countries, but basically someone puts down a few dashes on a bit of paper and you have to guess what the word is by guessing letters. And I learned what the hardest word to guess is when you're playing Hangman.
Okay.
And so as a kid, when I was younger, what I would always do is choose a word that has like 13 letters, right? Or 15 letters, as many letters as possible. A really long word, because of course people have to guess more letters. But in fact, it's harder to guess a word with fewer letters, because, you know, 25 letters in the alphabet, your word is only a few letters long, then the most likelihood is that people are going to get it wrong when they're guessing, you know, what the letters are, right?
So you want the most amount of letters, but the fewest amount of different types of letters. Is that...
Yeah, I guess so. Or just the fewest letters as possible, really, ultimately. And using unusual letters as well. And so there was this mathematician called John McLoon, and his daughter asked him...
What a name.
Yeah, I know,
that's a good name. Strong name.
Exactly. Yeah. And
couldn't guess it in a game of Hangman, that's for sure.
No, you couldn't.
No, you'd be unlikely to.
Bringing it back.
his daughter asked him what the most difficult word to guess is. And him being a mathematician basically put together a whole load of statistical analysis from all the words in the dictionary and simulated all these different versions of Hangman. And notice that the hardest word to guess in the English language is the word jazz.
Jazz.
Because people do not guess Zs, and they do not guess Js. Because it's such a short word, it turns out that the hardest word... So if you want to win at home, if you want to win at Hangman...
And your family hate you.
Hate you, then go for jazz. Unless, of course, they've also seen this video and then they'll preempt you.
If your entire family watches the Just Interesting podcast,
exactly like they should.
One, thanks for tuning in. That's amazing. But also, yeah, don't use jazz.
Yeah, don't use jazz. And anyway, so the other ones in this top list were others similar words like fizz, buzz, jink was one, hajj, like the pilgrimage, I think, Hajj, and quiz. These were difficult ones. Yeah, oh. Quiz. Q-U-I.
Yeah.
Z,
yeah.
Quiz. So lots of different...
Q, yeah. It's interesting as well, because going back to Scrabble, the letters like Q and Z and J are all high-scoring letters.
Yeah, exactly. So that's mine. If you're going to win, four-letter words with Zs in tend to do quite well. Keep that in mind.
Nice, nice.
What's the word with Z?
Well,
I don't know any more letters for Z. Just forgotten every single word in the alphabet now.
Anyway, I think I'll go next because mine's a bit of a downer, actually. And I didn't realise how sad it was until I just read it again just now.
Okay, good. Mine was a funny one, so that's all right.
Yeah, so I'll go next. But I learned this week about a mysterious worldwide pandemic
that took place. Enough of this. We're
trying to forget about it.
It's a different one, and it's quite scary. It spooked me out. So this took place between 1915 and 1926, so there was some overlap with the Spanish flu as well. And some people think that this is linked to that, like some kind of symptom of that. There's a debate going on. But this was encephalitis lethargica. Have either of you heard of this? It's pretty scary.
Is it something to do with being lazy? Because lethargy?
Yeah, lethargica.
It's kind of linked to that, yeah. So between 1915 and 1926, 500,000 people died or were incapacitated from this illness. And it just appeared suddenly one day, and it basically is a disease that attacks the brain and causes people to become, like you say, otherwise known as the sleeping sickness or sleepy sickness. And it left victims in a statue-like condition, speechless and motionless, unable to completely aware of where they were and their surroundings, but unable to move or do anything about their situation.
Oh my goodness.
And the people
that
did
horrendous.
The people that did survive this, not a lot of them never returned to like their previous, you know, mobility. So they just had to live with these symptoms for the rest of their life.
Fucking hell.
Horrible. And in a book called Awakenings, which was then later turned into a 1990 American drama film starring Robin Williams and Robert De Niro. But in this book that was talking about this condition, the author says they would be conscious and aware yet not fully awake. They would sit motionless and speechless all day in their chairs, totally lacking energy, impetus, initiative, motive, appetite, affect or desire. They registered what went on about them without active attention and with profound indifference. They neither conveyed nor felt the feelings of life. They were as insubstantial as ghosts and as passive as zombies, which I felt was pretty, pretty scary as pandemics go.
That is horrendous.
I know.
Whereabout, do we know who it affected in terms of which countries mainly? Was it global or was it more regionalized?
That's a good question. Because I
haven't heard of this one before.
Yeah.
Was it viral? Because it sounds like it's a brain disease. Mm-hmm.
I don't think a huge amount was really known about it, and then it like stopped suddenly around in like 1926. I think there are occasional cases that appear still like to this day, very occasional. Yeah. To answer your earlier question, this appeared spread across Europe and appeared in Vienna notably. I think there's lots of cases that suddenly appeared in Vienna. So odd. But yeah, that was my depressing fact that I learned this week.
Thanks, Alex.
Yes.
You're welcome, Chris. Welcome to the podcast. How about you, Chris? Have you picked up any little inklings of knowledge this week?
I'm gonna be honest, since Robin asked me to come on, I was like, I don't do anything. I don't look at the news. I don't learn things. I just sit behind a computer, type a little bit, start crying. However, something came up on my YouTube today that I thought was very funny, and I'm going to send you the link of it.
Okay.
Both of you, so you can both look at it. And I think it's something that has been in the sphere of people talking and looking about it, because it's quite funny. And it's the Japanese instruction booklet for the Wii, the Nintendo Wii.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And it got me thinking about Japanese instructions and instruction booklets, and how they can be humorous in such a way, anyway, because it's designed to be humorous, like specifically this one, and also how they're humorous because of cultural barriers.
No,
you're right. You can't put toast in a Wii. That's not what you do with it. You shouldn't parachute with it. But it's like certain things like this is like, it's designed to be quite funny.
I mean, we have some people listening on audio. There's a picture of toast being put into the Wii, and there's someone parachuting with the Wii, and someone else trying to put it down the pants,
hitting it with a mace.
Don't feed it after midnight, which I thought was quite a
clever
one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Gremlins, nice.
Yeah, it's very subtle. Don't wine and dine it, or try to marry it. You can't try and marry it. It's not a object. But it got me thinking about other ones that might be, and I didn't get many.
Thing is, do you ever like see signs that are so specific and you're like, what has gone wrong that they've had to put a sign up like that that says that? Do you think this could just be an instance like that? All of these have happened and been reported. Yeah. Someone broke their wheel by putting bread in it, so they've had to make this sign.
Someone thought it was a parachute.
Devastating consequences for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But this second one, I think it's also common. I think this goes more along lines with, this has definitely happened, what you were saying, Alex, but how to use a toilet correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it was actually linking to that, yes, this has probably happened, because toilets in some toilets in Japan, specifically at like national parks, are just a hole in the floor, and you got to squat. And that's how you do it, yeah.
Yeah.
So more than likely, people have tried this to... squat over the toilet bowl itself, front or back.
I suppose if you've like spent your whole life, just squatting, the idea of there being contact with a seat is probably quite strange for you.
Yeah, you just rock up and there's just a thing, just a seat there. You're like, you know, what the fuck's going on?
What the hell is this?
There's a third one which I'm sending to you now. I think this one feels more like a corporate situation. But it's definitely still quite funny and humorous. And it's just different products that are just on my company. Nice. Yeah. And just, like, no, you certainly can't put a calculator in a hamburger bun.
That's the one that stood out to me too, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, these are good. These are good. Don't fish with your stethoscope.
Nah.
Good idea. Yeah.
I've got a comment from Aquamarine who says, I love this show so much. It's like having friends over every time I listen. And then they go on to say, I suspect the UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, which is what they're called now. So last week, Chris, we spoke about UFOs and looked at all of like the recent Navy UFO sightings that have happened over the last like couple of decades. So the US Navy and military personnel taking videos and stuff of UFOs. Mm-hmm. I suspect the UAPs are highly advanced secret USA technology, testing their own troops' defenses and limitations and testing the advanced technology's abilities. If the UAPs were Russian or Chinese, the US government would be so freaked out we wouldn't be hearing anything about how advanced these things are. Which is a good point, actually.
Mm. It's always interesting to know the level of command and the level of knowledge that people in the military have. Like these guys who are, just for a bit of context, Chris, some of these sightings were by other military personnel, by pilots who saw these in the sky and tracked them, one of them across the sea and another one through the air. Mm. And, of course, being kind of pilots or Navy members of the military, you'd expect them to possibly have some kind of knowledge about what kind of the advancement of technology is. And the fact that they had no idea, even these fairly high-ranking officers in some cases, of what these objects could be, that you hadn't seen anything like them before, makes you think, okay, at what level of command is this information disclosed to people?
Mm.
So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah. So I've got one from History of M, and they say, my dad worked for the ONI, which is the Office of Naval
Intelligence.
Naval Intelligence. That right? Office of Naval Intelligence. That sounds right.
Sounds.
We all have computers, like we could look it up.
Yeah, true. In the Pentagon, back in the 90s, my mother used to ask him all the time about UFOs. Of course, he said he couldn't answer that. But one day, she rephrased the question to, "Well, do you believe in UFOs?" He responded, "Yes, I personally believe in UFOs. Now that I'm older, I wish I could ask him what all he personally believed in about the subject."
Mm.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. What did they know? And they did have to keep this secret.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, isn't there supposed to be like some revelation about it coming up soon or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As of recording, it should be tomorrow, isn't it?
Or even potentially later today.
Oh, possibly.
I think we predicted that they would basically say that there are like things out there, but we don't know what they are. Just kind of give non-answers, basically. Mm. Is that what we kind of said?
Yeah, I mean, I think confirming what's been said before, like Obama came out, didn't he, and said about UFOs. That there are various cases of UFOs that we don't actually know where they are, etc., etc. So we're just thinking that there would be a continuation of that rhetoric. Yes, they do exist. There are things in the sky that we don't know about. Whereas before, I think it was very much like unidentified flying objects. They're probably military. Now it's like more under script, isn't it?
It's like, yeah, it's like we don't know what they are. They definitely exist. Yeah, yeah. And like UFOs before were kind of, did they actually happen, or was it just some crazy nutcase with a smudge on the lens or something, you know? Whereas now it's them actually saying, no, they do exist. We don't know what they are.
I like to imagine that it'll be revealed that out there it's just shit like Outer Worlds. I'm not saying that just because I've been playing it recently.
But they just wheel out like a real, not like the Roswell fake alien skeleton, but a real alien autopsy. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is one.
Just a living alien. And they're like, hey, my name's Frank. Yeah, I'm from Alpha Centauri. Yeah, how's it going? We've been here for decades. Yeah, You've only just found us.
That cigar-shaped aircraft was mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parked out there. Yeah.
Sorry, I scared some people. I'm all right. What if you're just really northern?
You adopted a northern accent. Why? Just liked it.
That's just what we sound like.
Well, thank you everyone for your comments this week. Be sure to keep them coming in. We love reading them and we love reading them out. Get in touch with us on Twitter. You can see our Twitter handles on screen. What's yours, Chris?
I am off social media because I got really anxious. So I have to put it out.
I don't blame
Don't get in touch with Chris at all.
Go to one of my facts and just watch our videos. I need just validate me there. Chris did a great job editing this. Nice. There's beans on the screen for no reason. I love it. this should have something more relevant, but I don't care. What's happened recently? What did we do recently? Ratchet and Clank. Did that last week.
Oh, nice. Oh, of course.
Yeah. I know nothing about them. And
Do you now?
No. like people ask me, like, oh, you must be so good at pub quizzes now. It's like, no. I look at the script, listen to the VO, pick out the keywords and search them.
Add some potatoes to the screen.
if I can't think of anything, there's people dancing, beans, potatoes, or macaroni. Like there is some thought process in there, but I have no time for lots of thought process.
Go over and check out 101 Facts on YouTube. And be sure, we'll link down below their latest episode.
I don't know why
episode.
I'm pointing, you're listening to this. So.
We'll link down below their latest episode. And if you want to get in touch with either of us, I'm at Just Alexing.
And I'm at Mart Interesting.
Shall we move on to our topic of discussion this week, which is, do time travellers walk among us? So before we get into the main question of whether time travellers actually walk among us, I just wanted to talk about time travel as a whole. Is it scientifically possible? And the answer, surprisingly, is it is pretty feasible. It's scientifically, it's pretty sound. Travelling forward in time, that is. So, and actually, it doesn't require some overly intricate hypothetical device. It basically just needs a big rocket to
go really
forward
fast
in time. Yeah, exactly. Just in one direction.
You have to exceed the speed of light, isn't it? Is that right?
I think you have to get closer to the as close to the speed of light as possible. So Einstein's theory of special relativity shows that time is relative depending on how fast you're moving. So the faster you travel through space, the slower you move through time. So you, in effect, would be going quicker through time the faster you're going. So you're traveling through time into the future. But this form of time travel would still only cover going into the future, but could it be possible to travel into the past? This is where scientists remain skeptical. There have been interesting hypothetical arguments for traveling back in time, such as going faster than the speed of light, which somehow would start reversing it. I don't understand that. I'm not going to pretend to understand that. Or, as explored in the Avengers Endgame, utilizing the quantum realm. Again, something I'm not going to pretend to understand. But the point is that scientists remain skeptical whether traveling back in time would be possible, as in it, both of these scenarios, it would involve breaking other known laws of physics. So there have been many people to come forward and claim to be time travelers from the future. Could there be any truth to any of their claims? So let's get into some of these cases. So the first one, and one of the earliest cases, was actually from a Charlie Chaplin short film, silent film, sorry, in his 1928 film The Circus. And this is quite a popular time traveling clip that many people online have noted. But the video shows footage from the film's premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theatre in Los Angeles. And in the clip, if you watch it, you can see a woman walks past the camera with her hand to her ear as if, in a very familiar fashion, it looks very much like she's holding a mobile telephone. What do you think? Could this be a time traveler from the future that was accidentally caught on camera in 1928?
She's holding. Yeah, it does look like she's holding a phone up to her ear, doesn't it? I mean, I think you've got to ask yourself, what else could she be holding, possibly at that time?
Yeah,
but it looks like she's speaking. Yeah, it looks like she's speaking as well, which kind of adds to the mystery.
I mean, the one question I would want to know, I guess, is if this was a mobile phone that she was speaking on in 1928, who's she calling? Who's she calling on this phone?
Someone from through time.
There's no satellite reception.
Phone.
I suppose, satellite. If she had the technology to travel back in time, then yeah, they've probably got time satellites or something. Yeah. Something crazy going on. There's no point questioning that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, some theories online suggest that maybe she was holding a hearing aid. That's a type of hearing aid at the time, like that you have to hold up to your ear. Or maybe she just didn't want to be on camera and was holding her face up to the camera. Although it does look like she's holding something rather than just
covering her face. She just kind of turns to the camera.
Yeah, she does, doesn't she?
I want to believe it's real.
Silent film. Could be hearing aid.
Yeah. Oh, I can't hear it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, at first glance, it's convincing, right? I mean, not that it's necessarily a time traveler, but if someone said, "Oh, what's she holding?" You'd be like, "Yeah, she's walking past the phone," because of course that's what people look like. She's in a world of her own. She's walking past, clutching something that looks like the shape of a smartphone to her ear. Whilst to me, it looks like she's talking as well, or at least in some kind of. And she's not like kind of looking around, or she's very much focused on, you know, when people are on their phones, they're focused, aren't they?
The ultimate irony is like, what if it's like a special agent sent from the future and she can't get caught, and then she gets caught on camera using a phone?
Absolute fail. Well, I mean, that's what a lot of the time travelers we're talking about today would have done. They would have just been absolute failures, caught on camera. I suppose I should have asked before we started looking into these cases, what do both of you think? Do you think that time travelers could be visiting us? Do you think that there is a possibility that that's happening every day? Or do you think, no way, Jose?
I feel like there's not enough evidence to say either way, but also I really want to believe, just so I could grab onto one of them and just swing with them, have swashbuckling adventures, and just hang off a dear life. Never let go, Rose.
If you want to go back to the future, you've got to take me with you.
I will come with you and have fun.
I promise we will. Yeah. I mean, I'm always with this kind of thing, just incredibly skeptical. The reason being that there always seems to be a lot of conflicting evidence when you delve into anything, which is, you know, there's going to be, isn't there? And also there's too much to gain from pretending to be a time traveler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I don't know if we'll move on to him a little bit later, but Noah, for instance.
Oh, I've excluded Noah from the video. Okay. But yeah, no, that's a great point. Noah so from Apex TV.
Noah from Apex TV, he was, you know, millions of views on his stuff. He was in a lot of the national newspapers giving interviews. You know, he probably made a fair bit of money out of being a time traveler. Whether it's true or not, you know, that's up to you for people to decide. But the incentive for pretending to be a time traveler seems to be there regardless.
Well, no, he admitted he lied. He came out and said, no, his name's actually Jason.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's too much to gain. And then you come out as a liar.
Well, yeah. Let's see, as we move on to the rest of these cases, whether any of them can change either of your minds.
Okay, okay. I'll keep an open mind. I always will.
But I would say that I'm also in the same boat at the moment. I'm pretty skeptical. Pretty skeptical for the exact same reasons. But the next story isn't actually like a video or photo of a time traveler caught on camera, but it's the eyewitness account of an RAF air marshal during World War II, or just before World War II, actually, from Sir Robert Victor Goddard, who was senior commander during the Second World War. And during a flying mission in 1939, he believed he experienced what time travel buffs refer to as a time slip. So he was flying over a disused Air Force base in the village of Drem in Scotland, and he claimed to see it change before his very eyes. So this was in 1935, sorry. While he was still a wing commander, he was sent to inspect a disused Air Force airfield near Edinburgh at a place called Drem. And he found it, run down, dilapidated, cattle grazing on grass that had forced cracks through the tarmac. And then as he was carrying on his flight, he found there was heavy rain. And so he flew back to this village to get his bearings. But as he approached the village, the torrential rain abruptly changed to bright sunlight. And when he looked down, he saw the airfield had been completely renovated and was now in use. There were mechanics in blue overalls walking around and four yellow planes parked on the runway. And one of these planes was a model that he did not recognize at all. Now, what's interesting about this is this base at Drem. So this flight took place in 1935 where he saw this. But in 1939, it was refurbished in preparation for the Second World War, or during the Second World War. And it became an air defense fighter unit for Edinburgh. And what made this even more interesting is the RAF, like the uniforms, they were originally grey and then they changed to blue in this 4-year time. So he said in 1935 that he witnessed them in blue uniforms with yellow planes, and the uniforms changed to the blue color and the planes changed to being yellow.
The 4 years later in 1939.
Yeah.
No way. So they're thinking that what he witnessed was a leap forward in time from 35 to 39 when these changes had been made.
Somehow during this flight, like in the storm or something, he jumped forward 4 years in time. And then by the time he landed, he was back in 1935.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Interesting. Yeah. The thing about this is that it is definitely a witness testimony, isn't it? It's based on this one man's account of what happened.
It's true.
Do we know when he claimed to have seen this? Because what would be interesting is if he claimed this after 1935, but before 1939, so he wouldn't have any idea of the fact that these people changed to blue overalls and yellow planes, right?
Yeah.
That would kind of verify it. I imagine that we don't know this information.
So this claim was originally written in a book written by J.H. Brennan called Time Travel: A New Perspective. Let me find out when that was written. But he basically claims that Victor Goddard made this claim in 1935. So he claims
he saw something.
He claims that Victor made this claim in 1935. But,
yeah,
I mean, he's writing a book on time travel. Of course he'd say that.
It's
still a secondary source.
He's a secondary source, exactly, with a motive of promoting time travel and making it seem feasible, you know.
That's true. What amazing imagery that this brings, though. The thought of flying over in a storm and then it's suddenly flashing before you.
Yeah, and then I think as well, though, flying over in a storm, a bit cliche, isn't it?
It is a little bit cliche.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, so this book was published in 1997, so way after the fact.
Yeah.
It also should be noted that Victor Goddard was pretty well known for his interest in paranormal phenomena.
Okay.
And in 1946, he claimed to have a clairvoyant incident, which was later, a feature film was later based on, called The Night My Number Came Up. I think he basically imagined himself in a plane crash, or dreamt that he was in a plane crash and then narrowly avoided that situation later on. So he's known for his interest in paranormal incidents and UFOs. So time travel could just be another thing. I don't know if that makes him less reliable as a witness. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, the easy answer is yes, isn't it? But at the same time, it could be that if certain people have an affinity to that kind of thing, then maybe they're more likely to just witness it. I don't know. Maybe I think I'm possibly being a little bit kind to him here.
Yeah. I do wonder is what, like, it's a secondary source in a person who wants to prove time travel's book, and it's all very cliche and clean. And like, oh, it was raining and then it was a sunny day and it was in a storm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm surprised there wasn't like a portal in the sky or something.
Mm. Yeah, I want to believe that it's real and that there was a time slip. Yeah, it'd be cool. I want time travel to be real because it'd be cool.
Well, okay. Yeah. It feels like we're not convinced by the story. Let's move on to the next case. And there is a photographic evidence with this one. This is this is the 1941 hipster.
So this is
a photograph from 1941, taken during the reopening of the South Fork Bridge in Goldbridge, British Columbia. And there is one person in this crowd who clearly stands out amongst the others. Yeah. Everyone's there wearing fedoras and you know, suits and old style sunglasses. And then there's this one guy in some fashionable sunglasses with a nice cardigan and a printed t-shirt.
Mm.
The hipster of 1941. What do you think?
I remember seeing this and it just being remarkable and thinking, what the hell is that person doing there? Like, yeah, he looks like he's wearing a big old knitted cardigan, a little chunky cardigan. As you say, a top or a t-shirt with a printed logo on it. It just looks... Even everything. I mean, the haircut maybe looks, I don't know, it could be of an old-fashioned style, but then a lot of people are going in for that today. Mm. He does look, when everyone else around him, as you say, is wearing suits and ties, he does look different.
I kind of feel like it's a doctored image, because I might be wrong, in that I might be completely talking out my ass, but if you zoom in, like right in on your phone, to his face, and then zoom in on the woman in front of her, she's more like blurry, like fuzzy, where he's
okay.
He's a bit clearer. Mm. I want it to be real because it'd be cool. I want time travel to exist already because I want to grab on to someone and just hold on for dear life and say, take me with you. I want to have adventures and not let go until either they take me with them or I crush them and I get their device. I will do it with sheer willpower alone. I want time travel.
It
does look pretty fake.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's
and also
fake.
He's very centered. He's not set in the center of the image, but it's very like he's the focal point of
the
image.
He's a tall bloke in the crowd. Yeah,
it's kind of in the is it in the golden spiral? Kind of. So it's kind of like that's where your eyes will be drawn to.
Yeah,
he's in the parting of the crowd, and it's very convenient.
Mm.
That's true. I wonder with this one if this photo or the clothes he's wearing would look different from a different angle if they're in colour.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it's in, of course, in black and white, and the angle that we're seeing at makes this look like a printed T-shirt. I mean, I imagine that this is not a printed T-shirt.
Mm.
You would be along the right lines, Martin. Yeah, I think on closer inspection, some people have said that it's not a printed T-shirt, but a sweater with a sewn-on emblem, which you can see when you look at it. You can see a kind of speckle in the top that he's wearing. And actually, like, what people have pointed out, interestingly, that people generally think this is a real photo. I don't think there's many people that say it's been doctored. But everything that he's wearing is, you know, pretty common for someone casually wearing in the 1940s. The glasses that he's wearing were a popular style that first appeared in the 1920s. Cardigans have been around. I think people are hipsters because they're wearing clothes that have gone out of fashion, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't a hipster. He was, you know, a trendsetter.
Mm. Yeah. You just don't think of those kind of clothes at that time, do you? You think of the people around him wearing the hats and the suits and ties.
Exactly. That's true.
Yeah, like he could have been wearing a hat and it got blown off by the wind because you kind of see he's a bit windswept.
maybe. Yeah.
That's true. True.
Yeah, because he's taller than everyone else, so it's probably more likely that he's. Shit at the time, isn't it?
It does. It looks compelling, though. It really does. He looks so out of place there.
It makes you want to believe that he's a time traveler.
I mean, if you did have a time machine, though, why would you go to this bridge opening? Like, what?
That's a really good
secret agent assignment. Maybe he has to fulfill a paradox.
Go somewhere better.
Maybe he's been told, like, you are in this photo. You have to go to there. And he goes and does it.
The paradox. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let's move on to another pretty popular one. This is a heavy hitter of the time travel theories. I'm speaking of the Babushka lady, who appeared during the assassination of JFK. And this kind of makes sense with what I was saying just before. Like, why would you visit some random bridge opening? Whereas, if you did have a time machine, you would want to put to rest one of the greatest mysteries of all time, conspiracy theories of all time, which is the JFK conspiracy theory, right? This is one of the most, you know, craziest events of the 20th century. Of course, if you're a time traveler, you'd visit this event and watch it unfold from a different angle.
Would you? You want to see someone get shot in the head?
Well, if you were like a time traveler, like, of course a time traveler would visit there, like, to document what actually took place.
Yeah. I think I'd probably be closer to the old the library building, though, wouldn't I? The book depository.
Library of Alexandria.
The book depository where Lee Harvey Oswald shot from.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, second or third floor.
Yes, that makes more sense. Yes, maybe time traveling historians. Like, maybe that's exactly their job, to go to a particular location and doctor it exactly. Mm. Like, they have like a little eyepiece, and they go like, "Oh, I'm filming it."
Mm.
They have all books that are all iPads.
Was there a second shooter on the grassy knoll? The Babushka lady might know it.
Yes.
She was nicknamed this as she was an unidentified witness at the event. She appeared in several films of the incident, and you can see her in several photographs in different angles. And as people fled in terror after JFK was shot and the confusion that surrounded this, you can see in one of these pictures everyone running in fear. This mysterious unidentified woman is just there, casually walking around, not looking fazed at all.
She was walking in that photo.
Yep. She was just
looking at her feet.
Did not look concerned in the slightest. Mm. And despite the FBI interviewing many witnesses, this lady was never found. Could she have been a time-traveling tourist or historian, like you said?
Yes. You think once the call went out for all witnesses, she would come forward, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I mean, and it's the fact that she's very notable and she's in a lot of these images, like in the background.
I mean, there's always the question of could she have had something to do with it? Could she have been an insider in the assassination? Mm. But yes, I think the time traveling aspect is an interesting one.
Absolutely, yeah. The time traveling thing is only one aspect of the babushka lady, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. It feels a little bit like it's tagged on. It's like, well, she'd want to be here, so maybe she's a time traveler.
Yeah, she could also be like a Soviet spy or assassin herself. Which would make sense if she was just walking calmly away from the incident. She knew what was going to go down, take place.
Yeah, I guess it was the height of the Cold War. What's the sleeper agents? She might be one of them.
She was just activated and take down the president. Possibly. So are you saying then that there are some more believable wild theories than her being a time traveller?
Yeah, I feel like... I want it to be a quantum leap.
Quantum leap.
Yeah. I want it to be time travel. With all of these, I want it to be time travel, but I feel like it's at the height of the Cold War. The USSR was in full swing. It's probably going to be something to do with the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Or possibly even more likely, she was just a woman who happened to see it, went home, had dinner, didn't follow up on the news, and no one found her.
Yeah, she got on with life and just...
She just didn't fancy being interviewed by the FBI. Understandable.
Yeah. That does seem, I mean, that is the most common. It's going to Occam's razor, isn't it?
Yeah.
It tends to be the most common thing. But with all, I think with all of these theories, it's there's always an element of, but could it be though? You know, there's that, but could it be? There's a conventional explanation. But there's always something in the back of your mind that's like, it'd be so cool if it actually was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always, like, with time travel theories, it's always like, but it could be.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about after the babushka lady is time travelers appearing in art, which makes sense. So this is before photographs existed, but when people might have seen with their own two eyes people walking around with mysterious devices, behaving strangely, you know, holding things to their head. And so we've got several pieces of artwork here. And I want you to see what stands out in each one. So the first one is an 1860 painting by Austrian artist Ferdinand Georg Waldmüller, titled The Expected One. And,
I know the center point is actually holding a smartphone, but is the guy wearing, like, period-appropriate clothing? Yeah, he looks more like 1920s than 1800s.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I think that those clothes probably did exist at the time.
I mean, this woman in the painting is clearly holding some kind of cup, isn't she? But I can see why they're saying that it looks like a phone.
Yeah, so for our listeners, there's a lady in the painting and she looks like someone who's walking and texting, basically.
Yes.
Looks like she's holding a phone in her hands. And I think the actual answer to this, art experts have said that she's holding a prayer book.
Oh, prayer book is okay.
She's doing an even worse offence, which is walking and reading.
And that would be the similar kind of, because prayer books are small, aren't they? They are small little books, so it probably would be roughly the same dimensions as a smartphone, which are now massive.
Yeah. So the next photo is called Mr. Pynchon and the Settling of the Springfield, which was made in 1937. Can you spot what it is in this painting?
I'm trying to have a look now.
So, in this painting...
Oh, yes.
Several Native Americans.
Someone else is on their phone.
Yeah. It's a Native American with what looks like an iPhone. Taking a selfie.
That one is actually more convincing. Because you can see the shape of it and the side perspective, can't you? Yeah.
I don't know what that's supposed to be, to be honest.
And the blokes on the left, one with the arrow, and the other one, they're both looking over inquisitively, like, what the hell's that?
They are, aren't they? They're like, what's he got in his hands? And he looks like he's smiling at something. He looks like he's just seen a funny cat gif.
He does. Yeah.
I'm convinced by this one.
Yeah, yeah. Most convincing piece of evidence so far.
What do you think, Chris?
I feel like it's might be some kind of ritualistic, ceremonial Native American paraphernalia. Without,
are you saying it's not? Are you saying it's not an iPhone?
It's not an iPhone.
No, it's a Samsung.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's an likes Android.
He likes Android. The better.
Well, there's one more painting, and this one is from a 1670 painting by Dutch artist Pieter de Hooch, and it's along similar vein to the other ones. It looks like someone's holding, it looks like a very futuristic type phone, like they're holding it just in their fingers.
Yeah.
I like the dog.
The dog is not a time traveler.
Just with the dog and be like, what the fuck is that? It's like, what the fuck are you doing? With your phone.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, what could it be? What's the alternative? What's it meant to be?
I don't know. I don't know what this is supposed to be.
Extremely realistic in comparison to the other people in the photo. But the fishing nightmare that's standing outside.
That's terrifying.
The fishing nightmare. Oh, this is a...
It's like, I've got a fishing rod, I'm ready to fish, but she looks like a horrible marionette.
Yeah, she is a bit scary.
It's very odd. It's very odd. Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what it is. But anyway, I can see why people look at this. The way she's looking down at the phone, the way the dog's like, stop taking pictures of my anus. I like it. Good painting. Weird. Good painting.
Well, having seen and discussed all of these different instances of people catching time travelers in the act, back in time, what do you think? Do they exist, or is the evidence still too weak?
I think the evidence is still too weak. I want it to be real. I want it to exist. I want it to be a thing. I've said it like what too many times in this video. I will grab on to a time traveler and I will not let go until they take me with them.
The time traveler is like very happy to take you anywhere, and you're still just I will grab hold of you.
Yeah. Even if they go like, bro, it's fine. We're gonna have fun. I'll be like,
how about you, Martin? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I remain skeptical.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that these are always really, really fun to look at.
They are.
And although there are logical explanations, like I said earlier, there's always something in me that's like, but could it be? Could it be? Are these clothes actually from the early 20th century? Or could it possibly be a time traveler? But yeah, I must say, I do remain skeptical. But I do want more of these because this is fun. This is fun. We need to do a follow up with more of these. I've enjoyed looking through these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I think time travel. I think I agree.
I think the underlying basis that the fact that going backwards in time is technically, you know, scientifically impossible currently certainly adds a little bit of doubt there, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, I think humans can overcome any problem they set their mind to, and this is what we know so far. So far, the idea of hypothetically going back in time would break known laws of physics. But who knows in the future? Who knows what we can uncover and discover? Yeah.
That's true. But I mean, if you go back to the hipster example, it's like the hipster looks like he's from now, today. If we don't know how to time travel today, then if we do in the future, that's great. But he wouldn't look like a today's hipster, would he?
Yeah, that's true.
He'd look more futuristic.
Well,
I don't know that for sure.
Maybe that he's from like the year 3000 and they only have vague records of around this time. So he's like 100 years out in time. So yeah. he dressed it. He's like, this is what they wore like around this time. And then he got back. He got hit there dressed as a hipster. And he was like, I'm such an idiot. I'm so underdressed.
Definitely, I'm underdressed.
We're the most documented generation so far, or point in time so far.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true.
That him being 1,000 years in the future, and relatively speaking, it's pretty close.
Okay, well, one final question before we move on to the quiz. If you could visit any point in history, previous in time, back in time, where would you go?
This reminds me of the bit in Peep Show where Jez is like, the 50s. for milkshakes and real Coca-Cola and glass bottles.
You can have Coca-Cola now, Jez.
Any time in history. Oh, goodness.
I always worry about that because you got to think about your pathogens infecting people in the past where they don't have the
You don't
the
have
same.
To think about that. You don't have to think
no,
about
don't
that.
Don't worry, don't worry.
Not worry.
The time machine protects
you. You've got like a little blockade around you.
You've got a hazmat suit on. You're just there as an impartial viewer and then you come back straight away.
Probably to the Library of Alexandria.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll go back a bit further. I'm going to go back and go and see a woolly mammoth. Why not? Oh, man. One specific time period.
I think I'd go back to the Bronze Age caveman times. Before fire, actually. And I would...
Before fire.
Yeah. And I'd just chuck them a lighter and then come back and see what happened. And see what craziness happened. Butterfly effect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you might be in a fair bit of danger as well, wouldn't you? Being an outsider looking so different.
Yeah, no, I'd stay my distant and I'd just chuck a lighter over there and run away.
Take the other thing as well, would they be able to use a lighter? Or would they just go, and smash it?
I mean, quite possibly. Oh, yeah, I should come broken. Back, wasted trip.
Yeah, well, that was a washout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think ancient Rome would be fun to go to.
Mm.
That'd be quite fun.
Prepare to be enslaved, Martin.
Welcome.
You don't? Yeah. Do you speak Latin fluently?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, mm-hmm. You might stand a chance then, I guess.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, Chris, Martin, do you fancy a quiz?
More than ever.
Welcome, gentlemen, to this week's quiz and the first quiz off between Martin and Chris. Is this Just Interesting V101 Facts? Are you representing Just Interesting today? And
I think,
are you
I 101 think I
Facts,
have.
Chris?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's start a rivalry.
That raises some stakes, doesn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I'll be like, come on, Chris, you can win. And I'll be like, Sam, you shouldn't rely on me.
Okay, before we get into it, as always, it's going to be 10 questions. General knowledge, what are your buzzers? Martin, let's hear what you've gone for.
I've gone for my classic.
Where are you? Lesbia Avenue!
Lesbia Avenue! How about you, Chris? What have you gone for?
I've gone for this.
Whoa.
Whoa, that
was intense. A little bit loud and scary. But what was it?
It's an animation. It's an animation of a TikTok. I don't know who originally the TikTok, but it's a kid saying like, I've got macaroni and chicken strips, and someone animated it. So it's Kirby saying it. So it's this.
Macaroni with the chicken strip.
Nice.
Cool.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's get into the quiz if everyone's ready. Question number one, and with this question, you need all of the answers, or it gets passed on to the other person. Okay, so
okay,
maybe
all of the answers for 1 point.
So yeah, all of the answers for 1 point. So maybe think before you buzz.
Okay,
is what I would
say.
No, sure.
Question one. Name three landlocked countries in Europe.
Lesbia Avenue.
I hear Martin.
Luxembourg
is there.
San Marino
is also there.
And let's go for Hungary.
Hungary is also there. Well done. Yeah, that's all three. Well, there's quite a few you could have chosen. I'm surprised you went for those ones. Those ones are the pretty obscure ones. Luxembourg, I could see that one, but San Marino, I wouldn't have guessed. And
San Marino is notoriously landlocked because it's all in Italy, isn't it?
Yeah. But you could have gone for Austria, Belarus, mm-hmm. Czech Republic, Switzerland, Slovakia, Serbia, Moldova, Macedonia, Vatican City, Andorra, and Liechtenstein. So there are quite a few options to choose from, but yeah, they're all a bit obscure.
What's the country that's between France and Spain? Or did I dream that?
Between France and Spain?
There's like a tiny, tiny little like city country.
There's Catalonia, but is that what you're... It's not quite a
country. It's a region, isn't it? A region.
Is that region? It's a region.
Yeah.
But they had the whole, like, they were trying to be independent.
They want to be independent.
Yeah.
They still do. Very much so.
Yeah. So that is 1-0 to Martin as we go on to question number two. Question two. What is the name of the biggest technology company in South Korea?
Macaroni.
Oh.
Insurance.
Is it Samsung?
It is Samsung. I didn't say that I was calling on you, though, Chris. But I was going to go for you. But I think I did hear your buzzer as well, Martin. But it was very quiet, so...
Okay, cool. I'll up the volume slightly.
But I would have got. I would have gone for you anyway, Chris. But yes, it was Samsung.
Actually, I heard, oh, and I was like, oh, it's me.
So that's one all as we go on to question three. And this is a closest wins question. And it's obviously an approximation. How many breaths does the human body take on a daily basis?
Macaroni with the chicken.
Thank you so much. Go on then, Chris.
I'm going to say 100,000.
Okay.
That's quite a lot. How many?
Martin's doing maths in his head here.
I'm going to go something more like 15,000, something like that.
Well, I'm afraid Chris Martin is closer, and you're pretty close, Martin. It's 20,000 is the approximation. The thing is, though, Chris, this is how you do the closest wins questions. I guess we used to it on this podcast, but we like kind of bait the other person into going first.
99,999.
Yeah. Okay, so that's 2-1 to Martin. Question number four. What is the world's smallest bird?
No! We just did a 101 about this. No! I remember it!
I have seen it, and yes, it is adorable.
Singapore.
I don't know anything about birds.
I don't know what it's called. I don't know. It's tiny and it's cute.
Smallest bird in the world. Is it a... I know nothing about birds, so I'm going to go for a chaffinch. They're small, aren't they?
It is not a chaffinch. If you want to have a guess, then I'll give you a clue afterwards, Chris.
I mean, all I've got is boob jokes in my head, so...
maybe that could be.
I mean, titties pranks.
It is not that, no.
Oh, who could have guessed?
Okay. So, I'll give you a clue. Okay. They notoriously enjoy drinking sugar water.
Macaroni with the chicken strips.
Is that a hummingbird?
I'll give it to you. Yeah, it's a type of hummingbird. I would have hoped that you would guess this one, Chris. It's the bee hummingbird. Is the smallest bird in the world.
I could picture it in my head. I could picture the fact that I did because I edited the fact myself.
Okay, question number five. Which former Doctor Who actress played the part of Nebula in Avengers Infinity War? I think I heard Martin.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But if you know, it's Doctor Who actress. Oh, yes, it's the one with dark hair, isn't it? I can't remember her name. What's her name?
You can't do this, Martin.
Chris knows it, so go for it, Chris. Okay. I'll hand it over to you. Yeah, go for it.
Yep, go for it.
Macaroni with chicken strip.
It's Karen Gillan.
It is Karen Gillan, yeah. That's right. So that's three.
Alex knows this. Alex knows I haven't seen any of the Marvel films.
I didn't know that, Martin, before today. I thought you did watch Marvel films, no?
No, not really. I've seen about a third of them. I tried to watch them all the way through. Which one did I get to? And it was just rubbish. It was just shit. And I just stopped.
Iron Man 3.
Some of them aren't great.
No, I got through those. It was a bit further on than that.
Okay, so that is 3-2 to you, Chris, as we move on to question number 6.
Oh, what should go downhill from here?
This is also a closest wins question.
Okay.
If you fell down an airless, frictionless hole going all the way through the Earth, how long would it take you to fall to the other side? Assuming, like, gravity, you know, whatever. You can fall to the other side. It's not affected by gravity when you get past the middle.
Ooh, are we talking about what unit of measurement are you looking for here?
Minutes.
Minutes. Minutes. Blimey. I'm going to... I'll buzz in, you know. Let's make this official. I'm going to go for... Is that too quick? You should be going that fast, would you? No. In minutes?
In minutes, yeah. How long to fall all the way through the Earth?
Minutes? Well, it should be in hours, wouldn't it? Okay, let's go for... It's going to be like... Let's go for 38 minutes.
Okay.
I'm just going to go for 45. It's not quite close.
So yep. Martin's gone for 38. Chris, you've gone for 45. The answer is 42 minutes. Ooh. So Chris gets the point
by 1 minute.
By 1 minute. That's unbelievable. Wow. I'm surprised by how quick that is, to be honest. I guess maybe the airless frictionlessness helps.
It just keep on gaining speed, I guess.
Yeah, no, I guess so.
You've reached terminal velocity.
Even I guess your terminal velocity would be much higher, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, much higher.
Yeah. There we go, yeah. Okay, so that is now 4-2 to Chris as we go on to question 7.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can still bring this back, though, Martin.
Yeah. There's always time.
Okay. Question number 7. Europe is separated from Africa by which sea?
Macaroni with the chicken strip.
Okay, go for it, Chris.
Mediterranean.
It is the Mediterranean Sea,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done.
I can do the dumb one.
Okay, great. So that's 5-2. Okay, Martin.
They're particularly slow on the buzzer today.
You need these next ones to stay in the game.
Yeah.
But well done, Chris. You're doing masterfully well.
I'm doing this. Every time I come on, I've lost.
You've mastered the art of the buzzer, and that is 90% of the just interesting quiz.
It depends. I think it depends on the questions.
Yeah.
As in, like, if the questions are... Sometimes I've been guilty of it where I've done a quiz that's, like, crazy hard, and it doesn't matter if you're quick on the buzzer. Not really.
Yeah.
You find yourself buzzing in, and then it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, question number 8. What city... did Starbucks open its first store in 1971?
With the chicken strips.
Chris was straight in there.
Is it Seattle?
It is Seattle, yeah.
Wow, did not know that.
So I had a friend in uni who came from Seattle, and she was like, oh, Starbucks in England is so bad.
Well, it's the same, literally the same thing.
Apparently it's different.
Well... Cool. Congratulations, Chris. You have absolutely stormed this quiz. But shall we carry on just to see how far this goes? Question number 9. What was the first Disney animated film based on the life of a real person?
Chicken strip.
On the life of a real person?
Yeah.
Then I don't know. Because I was going to say Snow White.
Snow White. Was not a real person. She did not live with 7 dwarves. And she was not poisoned by a witch.
Based on the life of a real person. Okay.
Go on the Martin.
Oh, that's not based on the life of a real person, though. I was going to say the Sword in the Stone.
Oh, I mean, that seems like it could be the answer. King Arthur. I think Arthurian legend isn't it? It's not necessarily a historically accurate person. True. That's not the answer I have. But that's a very good guess, though. So the film was a 90s film.
A 90s film?
Mm.
Come on.
Go on then, Martin.
Oh, it's not based on a real person, though, is it?
If you've said The Lion King, then...
The Lion King, yeah. Lion King. No, my mind's gone blank now. No.
Okay.
Go for it, Chris.
Do I do the buzzer? What do you say?
You don't have to, it's fine.
I was going to say Pocahontas.
It's Pocahontas, yes.
Oh, yeah.
My next...
I've seen that like 30, 40 times.
I think I started watching it, then I fell asleep, and then I opened my eyes and the credits were playing.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. It's a good one, actually. It's up there. It's up there for sure. It doesn't... Some of them get a bit... Like, the music isn't too... I guess repetitive.
Mm.
But quite a lot of Disney music goes, like, really is quite repetitive. But it's, no, yeah, worth a watch for sure.
Good.
It's funny with that one, because it's made at the same time as Lion King. And the animation team was put on Pocahontas, and the B animation team was put on Lion King, and it was a thought... Pokemon is going to be fantastic, and Lion King is going to be a flop. It was the other way around.
It's a bit like Shrek, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's a furry. Just
yeah. Everyone got chucked off. What was it? The Emperor's New Groove? Was it that? No, that's Disney as well, isn't it?
But yeah, no. The answer was Pocahontas. Okay, final question.
Of course.
If something is described as a stellate, what shape does it have?
Stellate.
Like Stella. Oh,
no, like Stella. I did buzz just then, by the way.
Yep.
Like a pointed shape.
Like a
stiletto or a stalagmite.
It's not a pointed shape, no.
Hmm.
Oh, go on,
sorry. No. You go for Chris.
I didn't buzz.
Oh, do you want to have a random guess?
A droplet.
Oh, that's a good guess, actually, but no, it's not. It's not a droplet.
Star.
It's a star, yeah, like Stella. Yeah, shape of a star.
Interstellar.
There we go. So I think that was 7-3 to Chris. You gave Martin an absolute
dear, oh dear. No, congratulations, not dear, oh dear. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's all those one-on-one facts.
Very good.
Paying off. Yeah. But yeah, no, congratulations, Chris. Thank you again for being on the podcast as well.
Thank you so much.
And everyone, make sure that you go and check out 101 Facts. We'll leave some links in the description down below. But yeah, no, thanks so much. And thanks for watching, guys. We will see you next time.
Bye.
No, I will see you next time. Maybe I will. I don't know. Bye.